What's going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler, here again to bring you a solo-hosted episode of Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Usually, I am joined by William the Opinion Updike. He is still lost in the mystical land of New Orleans. I haven't heard from him. Hope he's doing okay. Send him your thoughts on Twitter, at Will Updike. We have a got an okay show for you today. We're going to be recapping that brunch loss to the Kings that the Clippers suffered that sent Clippers Twitter into a horrific tizzy. We're going to be previewing the game. When you're listening to this, it's going to be happening tonight against the Grizzlies. We got Paul George and Bev upgraded to questionable for that game, which is nice. And then to end it, where every Monday we do the freshies, we're going to take a look today about Reggie Jackson's debut, a little more in-depth on that, and how Marcus Morris has looked up to this point, as well as we're going to be talking the final date for that Clippers-Lakers reschedule that really screwed the Lakers over. So what are you going to do on that? If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome to Lock On Clippers. We come at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, with all the fresh Clippers news. But let's dive into this recap. The Clippers fell to the Kings for the second time this season, 103-112 at Staples. And this one was a lot of frustrating things with, a few kind of bright spots late. It started off horrendous. The Clippers started 1 of 10. There was 5 turnovers in the first, 13 points total. There's a very long time where we had more turnovers than actual buckets scored. This game was full of kind of one step forward, two steps back for a lot of it. We got a late push, but it couldn't help us. I don't know. It was tough. This was Reggie Jackson's debut. I'm going to talk a little bit more in the third segment. But overall, kind of hard to judge. His assist numbers would have been bumped up if guys weren't ice cold to start the game. But he looked like a brand new point guard who didn't really have a lot of time to prep and had to guard De'Aaron Fox, who now has a bunch of confidence against us. Let's start with what went well, because there were only a couple things that kind of went well in this one. And that was Kawhi and Zoo really seemed like they wanted to win this game from tip-off to the final whistle. There was a brief period where everyone else was kind of locked in, but that was late. But Kawhi and Zoo were great. Kawhi ended with 31 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, plus 2 steals. He went 4 of 7 from 3. Despite a really disjointed offensive flow from the Clippers, he played well. He needed some help in this one, as you do sometimes when you're a superstar. And he didn't really get it until late. He himself had kind of a rough fourth quarter. But, he'd been phenomenal the whole game. We should have won this game. I know we were missing Paul George and Bev. We should have won this game. Kawhi needed a little bit of help in this one. He didn't get it at the right times. It was one of those games where just things weren't clicking at the right time. Zoo was phenomenal on the glass on this one. He had 15 boards, 7 of which were offensive rebounds. So you absolutely love to see that. He, of course, picked up some fouls. He had 2 of them kind of in quick succession. But at this point, I don't even really know how I feel about Zoo getting fouls because he has such a weird minutes cap. The shooting came a little better. He ended with 8 points. He hit both his free throws. At one point, there was a really nice glimpse of what I think we can see regularly out of Zoo maybe next year and in the coming years. He grabbed an offensive rebound around like 3 Kings players and kicked it out to Kawhi, who hit a 3. And that was like a really nice, like, oh, okay, this is something that Zoo can and should kind of be able to do on a regular basis. It was just cool to see happen in this game. He ended up sitting with 5 minutes left in the third, never to return. So, hey, that's just how these rotations go at this point. He was challenging guys at the rim. He got a pretty sweet block early, which was good to see. It was nice from Zoo. Trez's rebounding was really good in this one. He had 10 boards. 4 of them were offensive. It was nice to see him mixing it up. He got into it with Len, Alex Len, a little bit. I'm a noted, randomly big Alex Len fan. It was just a friendly discussion. The refs took exception to it. He hit 6 of 8 free throws, which is always a nice bonus from Trez. You really, really, usually when he's hitting free throws, we're winning games, which was nice to see. So that was good. We're going to talk about some of his deficiencies and what didn't go well, but we're keeping it positive right now. He was good on the glass. It was an encouraging thing, because that's kind of a knock that that we've talked about on this podcast for sure. I mean, him and Lou were the only people in double digits other than Kawhi. Zoo definitely should have been. I know I just said he played well, but he was a little rough. He shot 37%. Fourth quarter, Lou Williams. He came to play in this one. He was pretty rough up to this point, kind of on both sides of the ball. The defense in this one was tough to see. But the fourth quarter came around. He put up 9 points. He helped lead a charge that actually had us take the lead late in the fourth. But, I mean, then we can get into kind of what went wrong was after we took that lead, the Kings just went on a run, and we couldn't do anything about it. There was a brutal turnover on a 4-on-1 that had Kawhi. I mean, I think Furious is maybe a little bit of a exaggeration, but he was really upset. It was maybe the maddest he'd been all year. It was a 4-on-1, and we, I don't know, kicked the ball out of bounds. It was really frustrating to watch. It was kind of the epitome of the game as a whole, of just the Clippers couldn't do a whole lot right together in this one. Just disjointed all the way around. If you look at the play-by-play, it's just brutal. The Kings just took over late. We had no answer for it. Another thing that went wrong in this thing, Kent Bazemore decided to look like Bronny Jr. against some 8th graders. He was seeking out Sham and Lou kind of regularly. He went for 23 points. He had a bunch of confidence. He was taking guys off the dribble. It just wasn't that fun to watch if you weren't a Kings fan. God, it was so frustrating. De'Aaron Fox was not scared of Reggie Jackson. I don't put this on Reggie Jackson. This is a tough spot to come into your debut for a team. But he had confidence. He had 8 dimes. He was kind of getting to the rim and hitting to the mid-range with ease. He didn't hit any threes, which was good. But, no, he looked like someone who was not deterred by our team defense. And it didn't really seem like he had any right to be. Their perimeter defense, 38% of shooting from 3 for the Kings. Barnes was 3 of 7. Bogdanovic was 4 of 10. He had 20 points. He looked good. There was no real talking. Lou was absolutely brutal. His fourth quarter offense almost saved us. He had 8 of our 9 turnovers. This was a rough Lou game outside of the fourth quarter. But I don't know. I'm not blaming the 12:30 game. I'm not blaming it off the outside. It wasn't that there was effort. It was just disjointed. It was like trying to teach someone how to drive a stick shift, like for the first time, and they were just stalling out is what it felt like. I mentioned this a little bit and what went well, but Trez checked in with 5 minutes left in the third and never sat again for this game. Doc has absolutely no interest in Zoo in the fourth. He deflects questions about Zoo getting more playing time in the post game. He kind of sticks to his offense is good for us thing, but it needs to happen. Zoo made good passes out of the post. He had 7 offensive boards. Just put him in to break up the minutes. Like, 17 straight minutes of game time for Trez to play is that shouldn't happen in the playoffs. That will cost us a series in the playoffs. If he's going to play that many minutes, it's going to cost us a series. Trez's passing out of the post wasn't there in this game. The boards were there, which was nice. He just needs a rest. Like, we're just pleading at this point. I don't know what it's going to take to get it. I did a post-game stream with Joe Morgan and Sabrina Merchant. And everyone knows that it needs to happen. We're just not sure if it's going to happen. But it has to. It seems like a really big issue. I don't know. It was just insane. I put a poll on Twitter. 76% of people immediately voted yes if Trez was going to play the whole rest of the game after he came in the third. And you people were right. You were smart people. Clippers had 19 turnovers in this game. 8 of them were Lou. Morris had 5 of them. It was just one of those games. This was one of those frustrating Clippers losses that we've seen a couple times this year. It wasn't a blowout, which was good. It probably should have been with how cold we started. The Kings had 10 boards in the first like 7 minutes. They were kind of letting us hit the boards too, but I don't know. We didn't get help from when we needed it. Shamet had a really rough day shooting. He was only 1 of 6. Sorry, let me pull this up real quick. yeah, Sham was one of six. A lot of his shots came late, which so the ball wasn't moving early for him. Marcus Morris was 3 of 9. He had goose eggs for a good part of this game. Reggie Jackson did hit 2 big threes, which was nice, but he was 2 of 6. I don't know. It just 33% from 3 on 30 attempts isn't going to do it. 39% from the field. That's what happened in this game. This was one of those games. How I was feeling after this game, I was upset at the rotations. This was a chance to move ahead with Utah and Denver losing, but again, we couldn't take advantage of it. We need health. We need Zoo to play more. It's the same story as it's probably going to be for the rest of the season right now. Like I mentioned, Paul George and Bam got upgraded to questionable for this game against Memphis, which is good. So we're getting there, it seems like. Clippers Twitter was in shambles after this, which is always, you know, that's always a fun time. Shout out to LA Clippers Film. He was defending. Not even defending. He was just talking about how, you know, these losses suck, but without Bev and Paul George, it's hard. And people just were like, that's not an excuse. It's like, we're not saying it's an excuse. It's just a fact. The team needs to start ramping it up. After this one, it's a noon game, whatever, whatever. As Doc said in the postgame, there's no real excuses for this loss. We need to bounce back hard as hell against the Grizzlies. Coming up after this, I'm going to be previewing what we need to do to get the win against this, if I'm going to be totally honest, a little scary Grizzlies team. But first, I want to give a shout out to Indeed. For those of you who have a small business, when you start your hiring process, you might have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skill tests to your job post so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skill tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Okay, welcome to Memphis First Clippers Preview. Just kind of had a terrifying thought about that Indeed promo. What if they just put things they needed done at their jobs for the tasks? That'd be kind of funny. Sorry, I'm very anti-business right now with friends being laid off. The Clippers end this game on a 3-game skid. We've lost 4 out of the last 5. A home win would be nice right about now. In our way is a feisty Memphis team that put 140 on us last time, so I'm hoping there's some fire in the bellies from that ass-kicking. Depending which Clippers team starts this game, we could have a tough time. The last time we did play, we started Derek Walton, which didn't last very long. We had no Bever George. Crowder is thankfully gone, which is nice, so that's a good help. Bev and PG are questionable, so that's better than out. I'm not really sure. I mean, warming up for the game on Saturday, Bev looked like he was ready to go. He kind of went through his full warm-up. He did his little futsal shuffle 2020, which was good. We 100% need Bev for me to feel comfortable about this game. Not that I'm not confident, but comfortable in that confidence, if that makes sense. For the Grizzlies, they're going to be missing Jaren Jackson. He suffered a knee sprain against the Lakers, so he'll be out. That is a huge blow for them. We're going to get into that. Into what could go wrong, but right now we're going to need what we need to do well to win this game, and that is communicate. I made a point of it in that last segment. There's no real talking on defense in that last game except when people were really mad, so that can't happen. The Clippers actually aren't practicing on Sunday when I'm recording this. They're watching film instead, so hopefully that can encourage some more talking. Someone on Twitter, I was kind of poo-pooing this idea, and then someone on Twitter, shout out to this person, tweeted me if you did this. They made the note that last time the Clippers did a film session, they rattled off like 8 out of 10 or something like that on wins. So I hope I'm wrong. I kind of want them to practice because Doc literally said in his press conference he needs more practice time. But what are you going to do? We need to move the ball. Shamet had to force his shots up late against the Kings because he wasn't getting looks. So if he can get a couple off the bench, if Bev is back or from the starting lineup early, I think we'll be in good shape. Just a couple looks early. Just like 3 first quarter shots from Sham would be nice. I'm fine with Morris getting shots if the ball is moved to him. If Kawhi doesn't have Paul George back, there might be a trap, so his passing will have to be good. I want to see that assist total high. We need to out assist them. They're literally number one in assists, which we're going to talk about what could go wrong, but we just got to move the ball. We got to do what we know works well for this team. which is just, if we move the ball enough, there's going to be someone open. Our deflections need to be on point. As I just mentioned, according to Basketball Reference, the Grizzlies are number one in assists per game. So that's, you know, if Bev is back, I would be a lot more psyched on this, but who knows. Jaren Jackson's out, so they're going to be trying to get the ball to guys who aren't necessarily used to getting that many shots or attention. So we could see a high force turnover game from the defense. Jaren Jackson accounted for a lot of their shot attempts. Ja Morant is Ja Morant, so he's going to be able to make some things happen, but limiting those things is going to be key, and I think we can do it. What could go wrong in this game? Rebounding is actually going to be tough. Memphis averages the eighth most boards in the league, so the effort's going to have to be there. They're a young team. Another good board game from Trez would go a long way. And early Zoo assertiveness is something to look out for in this one. If Zoo can really kind of dominate early, or at least challenge at the rim early, grab boards and kind of show that he has soft hands, if that makes sense. Jonas Valanciunas is a big test, but I think, you know, it's like the dinosaur matchup, as we're going to talk about in the key matchups. But this is one I think Zoo can definitely pass. Turnovers. Lewin Morris had a rough go of it on Saturday. The team, like, we can't let transition kill us in this game. The Grizzlies are a fast team. They can run if they want to. Ja Morant's Ja Morant. It's going to be an issue if we're turning the ball over. We can't let a young team in to the game. We've seen what happens. They take like the fourth most 2-point attempts a game. So if our defense in general, if our offense is sloppy, that's going to lead to, sloppy defense, as we've seen it happen. Something that's going to start happening in games that I have to assume is going to start happening, it does every now and then, is Trez plays too long of a stretch and then he gets targeted for the rest of the game on defense. Trez needs rests. It just is a thing. And if teams want to beat us, going at him late is a very legitimate strategy. Zoo can't get into early foul troubles and force early Trez minutes. We know Zoo's not going to get late minutes. We know that no matter how many fouls he has, it doesn't seem like he's getting late minutes. So just keeping Trez off the floor as long as possible early would go a long way in this one for sure. And then, of course, we know all the big things for this Clippers team. Trading buckets, giving them confidence, disjointed offense, all that we know can go wrong literally at any point for this team. Let's hope that's a little limited. Key matchups in this game. I have to think Ja Morant versus the zone. Ja takes 11 two-point attempts a game and is hitting just under 52% of them, so he's going to be trying to draw contact. The Grizzlies put up the fifth least amount of threes and hit him at a 35% clip, which is below minimum of the road. And they're missing Jaren Jackson, and he was their number one three-point taker. So the threes aren't really going to be there from the usual guys. If Bev is out, and even if he's in, it seems like we're going to use the zone at points to stop Ja from taking over. Dylan Brooks versus Kawhi and Shamit, depending if Bev plays. Brooks had 22 on us last time. He's capable of getting hot. He went 6 of 9 from 3. He's one of those guys who you're just like, nice, it's a Dylan Brooks game. Talked about this a little bit up top. Zoo versus Valanciunas. It's the dinosaur battle. Hope for a good 20 minutes from Zoo. It's going to be hard to pass well with Valanciunas on him, but I have confidence he can maybe build on some of those good decisions he made in that Kings game. Kawhi versus team defense. There might be the trap if Paul George can't go, so Kawhi's passing is going to have to be on point. I have no reason to believe it won't be. I don't really see who's shutting him down, and his three-point shooting has been good enough lately that he went 2 of 7 last time. I don't think that's going to happen again. The bench versus non-Kawhi minutes is going to be big. The bench defense is our bench's defense. You know what I mean? It's a questionable kind of... it's questionable. Seeing Reggie feel more comfortable with the second unit would be nice if Bev is back. I don't really want to see a bunch of Magruder in this game. I think that's fair. Terrence Mann had an 18-second cameo at one point in the Kings game. But no, the bench needs to be on point. I want to see Jermichael get back to kind of what we saw from last year a little bit. It's doable against this Grizzlies team. My prediction for this game, I thought we were going to handily beat the Kings. So predictions have been hard, if I'm being totally honest with you guys. I think the Clippers win. I think it's closer than we want it to be. I think it's, let's say, 117-112 Clippers. Let me know what you think at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Maybe don't tweet Willie's on vacation. Like, coming back for this, we're going to be talking how Reggie and Marcus Morris look so far and a bit of the reschedule talk. Okay, welcome to the Freshies and reschedule talk. So we're talking about Reggie and Marcus Morris. Every Monday we do talk about the new guys on the team. And we got a couple of new guys on the team, so we're going to talk about them. I mentioned this. Reggie was forced to start with Bev out. He had some bad luck with guys shooting for his assist numbers. He hit some big threes. He hit one right at the end of the half, which is good. And then he hit one either to tie or to, I think it was to tie or like to cut it within one late against the Kings. I just wanted to get more time on the second unit. It's kind of hard to judge how he did in that first game. He also had to defend De'Aaron Fox, which he doesn't know the rotations. Didn't seem like a lot of people on the Clips knew the rotations in that game. Also, which didn't help anything. But I think it's going to be good. You know, he didn't look like a true net negative in any way. There was some spacing issues for sure early with Zoo. He threw a couple of kind of rough passes, but I think, you know, first game with a new offense and stuff like that. I was, you know, pleasantly surprised, mostly because I wasn't disappointed, if that makes sense. It's no disrespect to Reggie. I'm excited to see what he can do. But yeah, just hope he gets time with the actual rotation he's going to be playing with. Marcus Morris had a super rough game on Saturday, but we've seen him be better in previous road contests. Maybe he just had the home jitters. I'm not sure if I ever want his field goal attempts to outnumber Landry's by more than like two. I don't think things are really going that well if that's the case. I know if, you know, Landry's probably going to be relegated maybe to the bench once Bev comes back, so that's going to kind of mess things up, but that's going to be interesting. There's still a bunch to figure out with how he's playing. He hasn't really played with PG and Bev at all, so it's hard to be too negative right now. There is some stickiness we've seen with Morris, maybe late in the shot, or early in the shot clock, excuse me, where it's just kind of like, you know, if Kawhi's on the floor, maybe Kawhi should be taking some of these shots kind of thing. But it's hard to be too negative right now. On paper, this team looks great. These guys made it look better. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing both of them kind of have an upswing game against the Grizzlies. Now talking, the much-aligned Clippers-Lakers game is now going to be played. They got rescheduled. They gave us all the date. April 9th, which I'm not going to get into the details of everything that it messed up, but it messed up a whole hell of a lot for the NBA. There was a bunch of other dates floated for them to play this game. This game ended up really shuffling things around. It forces the Lakers to play three games in a row, which is egregious. I don't say that word very often. Trust me, I don't use that word lightly. That's egregious. I don't care who it is. Three games in a row. It's unsafe. It's bad. It's bad. I would be very upset. It also shuffles one of our back-to-backs. So instead of having a Bulls-Jazz back-to-back, excuse me, I got that wrong. Previously, we had a Jazz-Bulls back-to-back. Now the game gets rescheduled to a Bulls-Jazz back-to-back, which is interesting. Kawhi mentioned during the All-Star break that he might play back-to-backs at some point. It was like quasi-alluded to. But if he rests for one of these, I hope it's against the Bulls. We need this game against the Jazz. These Jazz and Nuggets games are absolutely important. They're so crucial right now. This is such a weird rescheduling. I'm glad they got it figured out, I guess. Seeding seems important now because we're going to keep dropping these games. So it has to be played. I hope there's no knocks. I hope Kawhi rests that first game, if he rests at all. I don't know. Let me know what you think about the game. It's a tough spot for the league, but I still think just the three games in a row thing is like, that's absurd. Thankfully, it didn't add us a back-to-back, so that's good. But yeah, let me know what you guys think of the reschedule. Let me know what you think about just kind of the team as a whole. That about wraps things up for Monday's episode of Locked On Clippers. You can find us, as always, Monday through Friday. We got new episodes for you guys. Usually it's William the Opinion Updike and myself. Tomorrow's episode for Tuesday, we're going to have a recap of that hopeful victory over the Grizzlies. You can send in your questions for Twitter Tuesdays on Twitter, @LockedOnClips, @CharlesMockler, @WillUpdike. We'll answer them on the show. And then, as always, whatever else happens to me now and then in Clipperland will be reported on the Locked On Clippers podcast. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. You can find us on iTunes, Google Pods, whatever they're calling it these days, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Spotify, all that good stuff. Thank you so much for hanging out, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.